Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. To save her people from extinction, Esther faced the risk of execution to beg the king of Persia to rescind a royal edict. She didn't try to pass the buck. She knew that at that key moment, the buck stopped here. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer talks further about For Such a Time as This, the story of Esther, a call to get involved and help get the work done.
What I'd like to do this morning is to use the words of Mordecai, sometimes Mordecai or Mordecai, depending on where you put the emphasis. What I'd like to do today is to use his words to bridge 2,500 years to speak to us as a church. What he was saying to Esther, in effect, was, number one, Esther, he said, you have to realize that just because you are in the palace, that doesn't mean that you are safe and secure. Because if this decree is fulfilled, you also will suffer the same fate. We are in this together. And I want you to know also, Esther, that if you do not deliver us, if you are not willing to take the risk, maybe God will use some other way, because God's ways are not boxed in and they are not dependent upon one person's faithfulness. But Esther, be faithful where God has planted you. Number one, what he said is, we are in this together. We are in this together. When my wife and I were in Alaska, we took a canoe trip. There were about 40 of us who decided to take this side trip, two canoes. That means 20 people in each canoe and 10 people on each side. Don't you like my mathematics? And so we are taking this canoe trip, and we're going to go across to the other side of the lake. I learned a number of different things during this experience. One was that there were some people who put their oar on their lap and did not paddle. You know what the interesting thing is? They arrived on the other side of the lake, though, the same time we did. And when it came to eat the clam chowder and the soup that had been prepared for us and the salmon that had been baked, they ate just as much as we did. Let me ask you something. Is it possible for Moody Church to function as a church and to get by, even though there are some people who keep their oar on their lap? The answer is yes. You know, there may be some people who are even members of Moody Church who do not pray regularly, who long ago have given up on God, maybe because of the bitterness of your heart, because of bad experiences, you no longer intercede. Can we do without your intercession? Yeah, I think we can make it. We can make it to the other side of the lake. There are some of you, bless you, whom God has blessed you financially, and yet you do not give regularly and consistently to the ministry of Moody Church because you look at the bulletin and you say, well, you know, the needs are being met and they can do without me. Can we do without you? Yes, I suppose we can do without you. But I want you to know something, that on that lake that day, there was a time when everybody did paddle, and that was when we were in a race. During the last couple hundred yards, these two boats were in a race to see who would get to the pier first. And I want you to know that the boat that Rebecca and I in won, hands down, no contest, it wasn't even close. And everybody was paddling. Don't miss my point. It is possible for us as a church to get to the other side without your help, with people whose oar is on their lap. But if we want to win the race, if we want to accomplish great things for God and believe for great things for God in the city of Chicago, every single oar has to be in the water. Why can't Moody Church be a church that always has lots of ushers? Now, maybe we have enough. I don't know. I didn't check. Why can't we be a church that always has lots of choir members? Why can't we get, instead of seven basses, why can't we get 14? With a whole lot of sopranos and altos, I'm sure, thrown in also that are necessary. Why can't we be a church where people say the commitment to Moody Church is great, but the need is so great that we recognize that we are together? I hope there's nobody listening today, unless it may be some visitor, who has a sense of detachment, who says, even though we attend here regularly, we're kind of here to see what Moody Church is going to do. No, folks, you are a part of us, and we invite you not only to be on the boat, but to help us paddle to the shore. Mordecai says, number one, Esther, don't ever think that your fate is independent of ours. We are together in this. And when someone shirks his duty, someone else has to take over and fulfill that part. And the boat doesn't go as well when there are people with paddles on their laps. Number two, Mordecai, you know, incidentally, the book of Esther has been criticized because the word God does not occur in the book. People have said, now how could this be an inspired book? Here you have 10 chapters and nowhere does the word God even appear. Well, even though the word God doesn't appear, I want you to know that in this book, we can see his shadow. We can see his providential hand at every turn. Mordecai says, Esther, don't you realize that you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? Don't you see divine significance where you have been planted? I want you to think for a moment and realize that when little Esther was in her mother's womb and her genetic structure was determining her features, who was it there that embroidered her, as it says in the Psalms, but God? Who is it that made her a beautiful baby, and when she grew up, she was a beautiful woman? Who was it that ordained that as that great, huge net was cast so that there might be this beauty contest in 127 provinces, that Esther should be one of the ones that was chosen, even though she was a Jewess? She was chosen for this awesome responsibility. Who gave her this vocation, which incidentally wasn't a very pleasant vocation, even though she was in a beautiful palace? Her husband was something less than desirable and something less than honest and moral. But who was it that called her to this? She had been called by God at that moment of history, at that particular time geographically, just for such a time as this. If you know anything about genetics, it's a wonder that any one of us has arrived on the scene. The possibility of you not being born, but your brother being born or your sister being born is very, very high. But we, of course, believe that it was not left to chance because God loved us from before the foundation of the world. And therefore, rather than being born in the 16th century, the 17th century, he allowed us to be born in the 20th century. And he brought us to the city of Chicago. He joined our hands together and he says, you have been brought to this moment, to this hour, to this challenge, just for such a time as this. That is true vocationally. Some of you have been called to be nurses, as my wife is, just for such a time as this, reaching people whose lives I will never be able to reach or no one else will be able to. You fill a niche that no one else can fill. It is like a key in the door for such a time as this. Some of you are in the advertising industry. Some of you are bankers, plumbers, lawyers, bricklayers. You are in charge of quality control or buying and purchasing in your company. And you have been led by God, born into this generation, into this hour, to meet those people, to accept those challenges for such a time as this. Called of God. Moody Church, raised up 130 years ago this year. It's not an accident that it was here in the city of Chicago, here on the near north side. When you look around us and you see the great needs that exist in the city, it is not an accident that we are so strategically located to meet those needs and be the catalyst that God might use to touch this entire city. And why does this city need to be touched? It is because the average person in Chicago no longer believes that God is relevant. He no longer believes that God answers prayer. He is filled with unbelief. All that he can see is the total irrelevancy of the church. He does not know that there is a God who can become his Father, if he savingly believes on his blessed Son. He doesn't know that. And we have been called to this hour to represent Christ in this community just for such a time as this. Now, may I say that Esther had no idea of the significance of her being there in the palace until Mordecai pointed it out to her. As far as she was concerned, this is just the way the lot is cast. Oh, I want to look into your eyes this morning. And may I say that as I look into your eyes, it is wonderful to be able to look into your eyes again. And you look so good. So good. Let me look for just a while. But let me tell you something, my friends. Your life has divine significance. You have been uniquely gifted by God. There is no one else in the world like you. I know that Will Rogers says one of us is enough. But the fact is that you have been led to this moment to enable us as a Moody Church to represent Christ in a world that no longer believes that God's blessed Son is relevant. What is our vision statement? It is to be known as a caring, culturally diverse community that spreads the gospel of Jesus Christ, that sees transformed lives through a clear gospel witness, quality programming, and the lifestyle of every believer. And I'll tell you that we can't do it without those three elements functioning together like a hand in a glove, divinely appointed for such a time as this. There's something else that I see here in the text. Not only does Mordecai say, number one, you're together. Number two, you are divinely appointed to be together. And may I say that yesterday we had a wonderful time here as we had a seminar for 36 new members who will be joining the church in the near future. And what a delight it is to see God bring people like this to Moody Church to help us do what He's called us to do. But thirdly, I see not only that we are together and that we are divinely appointed to be together, but also we are divinely appointed to take risks for God. You'll notice that Esther said, if I perish, I perish. That wasn't a very hopeful statement, was it? You know what I believe? I think that Esther expected to die, but she says, you know, either way I'm probably going to die if it gets found out that I'm a Jewess and this decree goes through. So if I'm going to die, I'm going to die. Avati, avati. Not a whole lot of faith. As it was, God spared her. And what an awesome story the rest of the book is that you can read this afternoon or sometime this week. Because Esther does go into the king and she does speak to Xerxes, who was the man who ordered that a bridge be built across the Hellespont. And when it blew down, he asked that the 300 workmen who worked on it be put to death. This was the king who, when a friend of his came and said, I would like to give you what in our terms is about $5.5 million, the king gladly accepted it and then returned it with a gift of praise and adoration. But when the same man asked that his son be exempt from military service, Xerxes had the boy cut in two and the armies of Persia marched between the two pieces. This was that kind of a man.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course, my friend, I want you to remember that ultimately, as the Bible says, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and He turns it wherever He wills. God can take a wicked king, and if God wills it, He can give someone favor in the presence of that king. A king who killed many people, and that, of course, is the story in the book of Esther. It's a story of the providence of God, so don't give up. You may be working with someone today who's difficult to get along with. Believe God, and He'll help you.
Today, Erwin Lutzer brought more of a message on For Such a Time as This. We can all heed this challenge in all the churches we attend. Next time, don't miss the conclusion of the story of Esther. Today's message can be yours on CD, sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about For Such a Time as This. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.